Okay, so I call the meeting to order. At 6:04? Yeah.
05.
Uh-oh, what happened now? We're in trouble loading your feed.
You're good.
Okay. All right. Given the public health conditions and consistent with Governor's Executive Order N29-20, meetings will be held by teleconference only until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is now open. Do I have a volunteer to conduct the pledge?
I'll do the pledge, Chair.
All right, excellent.
All right,
you're
everybody.
In charge.
Thank you, everyone. Please place your heart or your hand on your heart and repeat after me. We'll do the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of
the United States of America,
States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Well done. Ms. Ratana, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Holden?
Here.
Commissioner Long?
Here.
Vice Chair Halverson?
Here.
Chair Rodman?
Here.
Please let the record show that Commissioner McLaughlin is not present.
All right, thank you. At this time, the Plan Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive for requests for or make announcements regarding any change in the order of the day. The commission should, by motion, adopt the agenda as prescribed or as revised. I don't hear any corrections. So do I have a motion to approve the agenda review? And do I have a second?
I move that we accept the agenda for tonight's meeting as submitted.
I'll second.
All in favor, state aye.
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 All opposed? I hear none. Okay. Okay. Please call in at, so we're in public communication. Please call in at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, the commission will allow the public communication. Any member of the public may address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the commission. The commission will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act. The commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So I'm going to open public comment and call on Clerk Ratana to see if anyone is on the line.
We do not have anyone on the line.
That's too bad.
Actually,
what?
I'm sorry, this is Rafa Rafali. I'm online as well. I don't know if that's how it works.
I hear somebody speaking.
I believe that's for a public hearing item.
Okay. All right. So that person is speaking for later, I understand.
I believe so.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to close public comment then, right? And open the consent agenda. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on items listed under the consent agenda? If so, please call in at 805-321-6639. First item is the meeting minutes of August 3 Planning Commission meeting. I noticed one correction, one mistake was, let's see, public hearing item number 2, down in about the fifth paragraph, it says, at this time, Vice Chair Halverson asked if there was anyone on the teleconference line that wanted to make any comment, and then it says, Chair Rodman invited comment on this matter. It should say, Vice Chair Halverson, to make that correction. Okay? So does anyone see any other corrections to those minutes? That's the August 3 minutes that I did not attend. I was in Europe, and I just got back. So if I seemed a little raveled, I'm... maybe still part of me in Europe. So we need a motion to approve the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, and do I have a second?
Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
And I will second it with the correction that Chair Rodman made.
Excellent. So all in favor, state aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none opposed, the motion carries. If there is any member, we're going on to public hearing items. If there is any member of the public who wishes to comment on item 2, please call in at 805-321-6639. Item 2 is the development application 20-14. Applicant is 441 South 5th, LLC, and the assistant planner, Rafael Castillo. Would you please give your report?
Okay. All right. Bear with me for a minute while I get this presentation up.
Well, I can see it clearly. Thank you.
Okay, so before you this evening is development application 2114. 2114 is located at 813 Trouville Avenue, so it's at the corner of 8th Street and South 8th and Trouville. And so the photo that's on your screen is the existing single-family residence. And again, this is another couple photos from your screen. As you can see here, this is the new sidewalk that was placed as a part of the 8th Street street improvements. And then here is a better picture here of the house that's fronting along Trouville. As you see, there's sort of a lack of a curb gutter and sidewalk on that end, but we'll get into that in the presentation. So the zoning of the proposed project is R2. It is south of West Grand Avenue, so there are certain items that, such as the privacy, that we don't get into as part of those projects for the general plan. And it's a site plan for development application 2114. So the proposed project before you this evening is taking a 10,000 square foot existing lot and subdividing it into a three-unit PUD. This is part of a tentative parcel map, TPM G21-0012. This is a development permit as well as a tentative parcel map. There is proposed two-car garages for all the residences. So these are located here on the rear. Again, this is South 8th. This is Trouville. So what the applicant is proposing is one singular driveway along South 8th, to service these three lots. There is one guest parking space, which is located here at the end of the proposed development. Approximately 3,469 square foot of new landscaping is throughout the project, which is delineated along the front yards of Trouville Avenue. So that front landscaping is located here. And then there are a couple areas of landscaping here on the rear. Just to note, city staff does not interpret landscaping within the right-of-way, so that you see this area that I'm highlighting is landscaping that is as a part of the right-of-way, but it also can be used to enhance the buildings, and so we'll get into the landscaping exception in a minute. And then, like I mentioned earlier, there is a new single driveway to service all three units, so these houses are facing along Trouville Avenue. As a part of the proposed project, there is proposed curb, gutter, and sidewalk installation and utility undergrounding, which is standard for most of these planning and development projects. So on your screen is an elevation of the proposed project. The top one is the southern facing elevation. This is the elevation which you would view coming from Trouville Avenue. Again, the applicant has gone through a fairly good design process in terms of eliminating the amount of curb cuts and driveways, so be able to create this one singular amount of three units along Trouville. The bottom picture on your screen is the rear portion. Again, these are the garages that are facing the rear and the one singular driveway. Each new residence is totaling 1,913 square feet. With, again, orientation towards the street. These are proposed two-story units with rooftop decks. The proposed residences are a maximum height of 24.5 feet, which is under the 25-foot maximum requirement of the R2 zone. And again, the elevations create a sense of place and neighborhood with these minimal curb cuts that's mentioned earlier. It does meet our new community development policy on calculating upper floor roof areas. So as a part of our PUD standards, there is an 80% roof, 80% second floor threshold requirement. That was a pretty tough thing to calculate. So city staff went ahead and created a policy last year on how to calculate that 80%. And so this is one of the first projects that has come through the door under this new policy, and it does meet the actual 80%, which is measured from the final roof outline, which is the rooftop deck. And so it's tough to see on this bottom image, but there it is, 80% of that first floor elevation. Again, these are pictures from the west and east. So here on the west is facing 8th Street, and then here on the east is facing the existing residential development. So similar to all projects, there's a consistency finding with the general plan. The proposed project is consistent with the following land use policies as indicated in your staff report, Land Use Policy 3.1, which is infill development, Land Use Policy 20.9, building heights, and Land Use Policy 20.8, qualities in residential development. Now, those explanations are included in your staff report. Privacy is also addressed with vehicular access and windows facing the street. So again, these are three individual lots with about 18 inches of separation on those lot lines. So windows are facing out towards the street. We understand that there is an existing height difference between property lines on the eastern end going along Trouville. So city staff has conditioned the proposed project to add additional street trees as well as screening trees on that side to be planted on the easterly side for privacy. And again, that's just the interface, the first floor versus second floor interface. Similar to the general plan, each project has to go through a consistency finding with the development code. The proposed project does meet most of the items of development code for R2 zone as well as residential common area development. There is a condition that is included in your packets for to meet the private storage area. Typically, these are done in the garage. Now, as mentioned earlier, this proposed project does not meet our landscaping requirements. The R2 zone requires approximately 35% of minimum landscaping per lot. This proposed project only provides 34%. The project would need an additional 31 square feet to meet our proposed landscaping requirements. Our proposed landscaping requirements are rather high for R2 and R3 lots. Just to note from looking at other codes in the area, including Rio Grande and Pismo Beach. However, the project does meet general plan land use policies and housing policies. There is a caveat in our development code, specifically table 2.1 or 2.2.2, that allows for development standards are maximum minimums and may be reduced or increased depending on the individual project specifications in order to comply with adopted policies in the general plan, local coastal program, and all other city and council policies. The proposed project before you this evening does meet all the land use policies located in our land use element, as well as three additional housing policies that this proposed project meets. And as you know, as many of you have heard over the last year or two, the state of California is going through an enormous housing crunch. So this proposed project would add additional housing stock on a underutilized piece of property within the city. So city staff is recommending this evening that the Planning Commission make those findings to allow for a reduction of landscaping coverage, which is the existing 34% from the required 35%. And if you have any questions regarding that, I can take that at the end of this presentation. Moving on, this was a very interesting configuration. So in order to sort of meet these landscaping findings, the applicants is proposing sort of these lot lines that deviate out into private use areas. Seeing that, the city staff has conditioned the project to utilize exclusive use easements. So that is this square here for lot one and this smaller square here for lot two. The reason being is to reduce potential future disputes among neighbors. So that's why we're trying to require these to be recorded up front. Reviewing our subdivision map act, as well as our minimum parcel size and PUDs, we did eliminate those approximately 2 years ago. So we also have conditioned the project that these use easements may be eliminated if the lot configurations are modified at the time of final map submittal. So at the time of final map submittal, city staff will review any additional parcel sizes to ensure that it does meet minimum zoning code requirements for building area, et cetera, with the exception of the landscaping, which hopefully the Planning Commission can make those findings this evening. Public Works and our 5-City Fire Department, with all development projects, review these for consistency with their codes. Frontage improvements are required for Trouville Avenue. City staff is recommending an additional condition be added by the Planning Commission this evening, that the applicant may work with the city on a cost sharing agreement for right-of-way improvements prior to the commencement of street improvements along Trouville Avenue. This is something that we are recommending to be included in the conditions of approval. In speaking with Public Works, my counterpart, Aaron Wiggin, in the Capital Improvement Projects Program, Trouville Avenue is scheduled to go out to bid this winter, with construction commencing sometime in late spring and early summer. So this is an excellent opportunity for the applicant to potentially enter into some cost sharing with the city as a part of this project in order to avoid ripping up a beautifully paved street just to put in utility improvements. So again, this is an additional item that we are requesting that the Planning Commission add as a part of the conditions of approval under the Public Works section. The 5-City Fire Authority did review this project as well, and they have added their standard fire conditions to ensure that the proposed development meet the fire code at the time of building permit submittal. As a part of all proposed projects, the city staff does do an environmental review consistent with the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. The proposed project does qualify for two categorical exemptions, the first one being a Class 3 for new construction. These are for single-family residential lots, and the other being a Class 15 residential subdivision. The proposed project is not located in an environmentally sensitive area, and again, findings for these two categorical exemptions from the California Environmental Quality Act are found in your draft resolution. So again, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving development application 2114 for development permit and tentative parcel map, creating three parcels and construction of three residential units located at 813 Trouville, with the additional Public Works condition that the applicant work with city staff on a cost sharing basis for public improvements. And with that, I will open up to any questions from the commission.
All right, this is our opportunity, commissioners, to questions of staff. Keep in mind, please, that we're questioning the staff right now on the presentation. We're going to save our comments for after we hear from the public. So let's begin with Commissioner Holden. Do you have any questions on the staff report?
Well, I think before the meeting started, Chris said that Trueville was being paved. Is that a problem?
Yeah, I did mention that in the staff report, which is why you were requesting that additional condition be added so that the applicant work with Public Works to come up with a cost-sharing agreement prior to the commencement of that work. That is something that we're very cognizant of. This actually is an item that will be going to City Council at their next meeting. So, again, we're just trying to give a heads up here to our applicant to begin that work, which is why, again, we are requesting the commission to do add that condition as a part of any approval this evening.
But it seems like the street is being paved now.
That is incorrect. So what was going on was a waterline improvement. So that's already been completed. The next step, so just to give you a quick Public Works item, there's a reason why not all the streets are being paved here in the city. That is because there are water lines that need to get improved and sometimes sewer lines, and there's no sense into improving, you know, doing street improvements and repaving those and then ripping those out to re-put in the infrastructure.
Oh, sure.
So the infrastructure's got to go first, which is what has been completed. So that's why the Trueville paving portion is going out for bid this winter, and then for construction going out into early spring and summer of next year.
Hey, Raphael, if I can just add something quickly, and Commissioner Holden, what I was talking about, the eastern two blocks of Trueville are being paved currently, which is separate, I think, than what Raphael is talking about. But yeah, the block I'm on is, in fact, being paved, and the block just to the west of me is being paved. So they are working their way down there. So this is a great catch to get that shared improvement on the sidewalk. Just a little bit of clarification there.
Okay, thanks.
Very well, but just to make it clear then, this public works condition needs to be added to the motion because it's not currently in the plan that we have before it, correct?
That is correct. And again, it's more of a red flag to the applicant to really just, you know, as this gets approved and we're discussing this evening, to really begin that legwork and hopefully save some time and effort.
Okay. Very good. Commissioner Long, then, any other questions of the staff at this time?
Sure. I got just a couple things in the report that I wanted to get clarification on. So technically this is a PUD subdivision, right?
That is correct.
But that'd be, I mean, okay, so that's interesting. We haven't seen a lot of these recently, have we, Raphael? These smaller, I mean, that's a pretty small subdivision, but yeah, technically it is a subdivision.
Right, the answer is, typically what we see is the two rather than the three. This applicant's really taking advantage of the densities here. And really what it is with our original PUD standards in the past, had a minimum lot size standard. That has disappeared over the last 2 years. So again, this applicant in particular is taking advantage of the maximum allowed densities to put in the three units.
Yeah, no, that's good to see. So one just question, and it's on one of the findings, finding number two, the fact finding there, and it talks about a detached, what is the language here? It says three detached two-story residences. And because this is a PUD, technically they're not detached. Is that, or am I just misinterpreting that?
Technically they are. So,
really? Okay.
Yeah, if we really want to get in the weeds here, that's, you know, might as well. So, you know, technically speaking, these do not share a wall. And so if you were to, I'm going to visualize about 18 inches, that's pretty much the separation that's there. It's a requirement per the building code for seismic activity, but essentially they don't share a common wall. It's about an 18-inch separation. But from the street side, it appears to be one unit because they're utilizing flashing and other techniques to make it look like one. But the reality is there's a lot line that runs right through these things, and they actually do not share any walls. So these are technically detached units.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, I appreciate that clarification. I thought I heard you say something about 18 inches and that I couldn't see it in the drawings. And so that's really interesting. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. The other thing, just for clarification, it was on condition of approval G1. And it mentions, let me see if I can find that really quick. And it referenced the coastal zone. And I just wanted to get clarification on that. Yeah
that should be struck out. So if you want to include that motion to strike that out, we will clean that up.
Okay, perfect. And then the other item that you mentioned during your presentation was the right-of-way. And that was
what happened?
Someone exited.
Your comment about the right-of-way. So when I was looking at the site, and it's clear that the utility distribution line runs pretty far into the lot. Now, I didn't know where the lot line was until I looked at the report. So there's a pretty significant right-of-way around the lot. Is that safe to say? And that's where the landscaping is going, correct?
Correct. So if you let me bring up this slide here and let's see here.
I guess not, Rafael, while you're bringing that up, the reason I was bringing that up, because I know one of the conditions of approval has to do with undergrinding the utility along that portion of the parcel. Is that correct?
Yeah, and again, that's the undergrounding of the utility. The drop lines are to be underground. There is an in-lieu fee that could be paid. That's a part of that. But again, let's see if I can finally get this in presentation mode. There we go. So really, that significant line, I believe, is right about here.
Correct.
That's in the right-of-way. So an in-lieu fee could be paid for that, but the drop lines from there would need to be underground. Again, that's something that the applicant will need to work with Public Works as part of the conditions of approval.
Okay, so we're not. So there's an opportunity for the developer to. They're definitely required to underground the drop line, but the
correct
distribution portion of it, that's not part of this proposal.
Correct. It's an either or. It's either they underground or pay the fee.
Okay. I mean, it would be nice to get that undergrounded, I guess. Just out of curiosity, how do most developers handle that?
It really just depends. Some of them, we've had developers, especially on our cannabis ones along 4th Street, where it's really heavy, that they go ahead and they pay the fee. Others have actually done it, just because it's easily done. So this one is a toss-up.
So one of the things I was thinking about while looking at this particular one is the landscaping requirement in and around existing utilities. So it would be nice to have some language, or maybe there is language that I'm just not aware of, that city provides developers about right tree, right place, right? I mean, that's definitely an issue with utilities, and particularly this is the opportunity to catch inadvertent plantings underneath a distribution line or on top of a buried line for that matter. So hopefully that's something that planning discusses with these applicants.
It is and it's not. So the reality is, as these come in, and this is something where we've discussed and really have tried to change over the last 2 years, is the way we do our map reviews. So really it is my personal preference that map reviews come in at the time of building permit submittal, so I can review it. We can review a landscaping plan and the map at the same time and make sure all the easements and irrigations and everything line up so that we avoid that exact scenario. There are times when that does not happen, and that is okay. But again, just trying to get all the information at hand, and city staff does work with our counterparts in Public Works to make sure that, the plantings do align and that the proper plantings are completed. Being cognizant of water-efficient landscaping that needs to get completed, and at the same time, the heights of these transmission lines and properly selecting the plants that are necessary to have all three work in conjunction as a cog.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying there. I think this is the opportunity to catch some of those, you know, compatible, making sure that the vegetation plan is compatible with utilities. It looked like you had, they were recommending for the trees on either side, those Chinese pistache, which really don't probably get any higher than 10, 15 feet, which is probably okay. But generally speaking, you know, you don't want, you know, we don't want trees underneath a, you know, power line.
Just yeah, got, generally those are bad ideas usually.
All right. That was the comments I had. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Long. I appreciate all those questions. Vice Chair Halverson.
Well, they saved one more for me. Thank you, guys. This whole business of easements, Rafael, are we only using those to balance the square footage of the three properties?
You know, it's the exclusive use easements are more of an issue of neighbors being naughty is probably the best way I can put it. It's you know, really, again, the subdivision was designed, at least submitted to staff, based on our older PUD ordinance. And so if it meets the ordinance, we don't really say much. But in this instance, it was, well, you know, they have to do all these private use easements. So again, it's really just trying to make sure that if someone purchases a property down the road, one of these properties, they understand that there's a portion of their property that's exclusive use to the neighbor, which is why we are recommending that they fix it at the final map stage, because that's really what it comes down to, is fixing it at the final map stage. But if not, there's at least something that's recorded when someone purchases the home that comes with an understanding that a portion of their property is for private exclusive use of someone else.
So the way it's parceled out, though, if you excuse my use of the word parcel, the property on the left loses their front yard essentially to the property in the center. So I can set up my lawn chairs in his yard in front of his front door.
I mean, again,
yeah, it's for my exclusive use. It just didn't make sense. So what you're saying, you set out a solution for the developer, but you're not really recommending that solution.
Oh, we are recommending the solution. We are recommending that they just straighten out the lot lines. It's an either or. So it's either they straighten out the lot lines or they record use easements. It's up to them. I've spoken with the design professional on this, and he said they'll straighten out the lot lines. But you know, again, there could be where they, in order to meet then the other zoning line, that those lot lines are straight on the front yards, but then do the gerrymandering, for better terms, on the driveway, which is probably where they should be gerrymandered.
Right, because that would be a common area for everybody, and you could steal a little square footage there, and nobody would care.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll trust that that'll get straightened out as the project is finalized. That's all I have.
Well, thank you. Really, you guys are on top of your game tonight. I like this. So let's. I think I'll save my questions until after we hear from the public.
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, can I? I just want to follow up on that. I think that was a good point. Would it make more sense for the, you know, gerrymandering to go on the back end? I mean, just for the pure fact that this is strictly an exercise to meet the landscaping requirement. I mean, if that's the case, right, the pavers are part of the landscaping commitment?
In this instance, no, they're not part of the landscaping. They are not part of the landscaping calculations. And again, I in reaching and speaking with a design professional who's not who won't be here this evening, he did note that their civil engineer did use an older version of the code, which at one time had a minimum lot size standard. So in this instance, at the final map stage, they can get rid of the private use areas and just do straight lots to the subdivision.
Okay, thanks.
That answers your question then, Commissioner Long?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Great. So as I was saying, I think I'll save my questions till after we hear from the public. So if there's no objection from the commissioners, we'll go on to public hearing. I'll open that with my gavel. And I'll invite the applicant to speak first. Applicant, are you available?
I am. How are you?
Oh, we're good. You have any,
thank you for...
yes, go ahead.
Oh, thank you for looking at the application. I think Raphael actually did a great job of presenting what we have intended for this lot. And I'll be honest, like, sometimes I get lost in the gerrymandering and the engineering and all the lot line, all this stuff like that. So I think everything is handled pretty well.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments or explanations right now?
Nope. I appreciate you guys looking at the application, and I do, I did talk to Public Works about a year ago, and they were concerned about digging into that new pavement, and that can be easily, figured out after acceptance, and we'll just work with it. Thank you very much.
Glad to hear. Yeah. Well, then, great. I'm glad to hear you're willing to make that effort with Public Works. Commissioners, you want to question the applicant about anything else? Anything? If not, I'll call on Clerk Ratana to, if anyone is on the line.
We do not have anyone on the line.
Excuse me a minute. Applicant, are you going to be available at the end of the meeting for maybe other questions?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fantastic. Great. Okay, go ahead, Nicole.
We do not have anyone on the line.
Oh, that's unfortunate. All right. Well, I'll remind people again, please call in at 805-321-6639 for any item that you wish to comment or question. So then I'll close the public hearing on this item, and I think it's time now to open this up to the commissioners. So what questions, comments, do you like this development? What are your feelings so far, commissioners?
Chair, I'll go ahead and start. I think it's it's a project right in line with the goals of the city. You know, it's increasing our housing stock. You know, you got an underutilized lot that now is going to have three separate homes on it, all with roof decks, from what I understand, and probably great view of the beach or at least the coastline. So that's going to be appealing to many people. Like to see that. Yeah, I'm happy to see that there's on-site parking. Of course, that's a requirement. But otherwise, I think everything looks good. Good-looking project.
Excellent. Commissioner Halverson, do you have any comments to make at this time?
Well, no, I would agree with Commissioner Long. I think it's an imaginative, useful project. And as he said, we'll triple our housing stock on this particular lot. So that's all good. No, I don't have any other comments.
All right. Any other questions, comments from the commissioners? Okay, then I have a bit of a concern, and maybe staff can help make me feel better about this, but it seems like we're we're maybe going after more housing available, which at this level of income is probably a very good thing. But are we, giving up landscaping for density or public works conditions? We're getting into a lot of weeds here to make to allowances to increase the density. And I'm a little bit concerned about in the future, we keep making more housing, and what's Grover Beach going to look like with, in this case, we're subdividing what I think was originally one lot and providing three different units on it. And although this is a far improvement by what was sitting on that lot, Castillo, do you have any comments to make that will help me feel better about how we're kind of weighing density against increasing density against, landscaping and other benefits of Grover Beach?
Yeah, sure, not a problem. So, first off, as far as the public works, there's no waiver of public works. Just a FYI. So the frontage improvements need to get done. So that's curb, gutter, sidewalk. That part is not being waived. Utility undergrounding, not being waived either. It's just an either or. That is in our code today. The only thing that we are asking for is, at this point, the landscaping. And as mentioned in the staff report, that's 31 square feet that's fallen. That is a very good question. Very philosophical question. What is landscaping? Landscaping in the 80s and 90s, even, dare I say, the early 2000s. Landscaping is a critical component to many single-family homes. However, due to the science that's out there, specifically climate change, let's face it, our area, particularly California, is facing water shortages. And we don't get the rain as much as we do. So at what point do we continue to require 35% landscaping when new homes are not putting as much anymore into that? We're not putting lawns. I didn't opt for a lawn in my backyard. Went ahead and did the faux grass. And it ain't cheap either. At what point, the other question is, what is landscaping? Landscaping right. Could be rocks. It could be grass. It could be faux grass. It could be pavers. There's so many things about that. So that's the landscaping end. As far as the density goes, you have an applicant that's maximizing their density. That has been established by our general plan. It meets all the criteria of our infill development policies that have been set up. This is a wonderfully designed project, to be quite honest with you, especially utilizing the one driveway on the rear, houses facing the front. This is a much welcome addition to this neighborhood, to this area. So I understand the concerns of density. This type of housing would come in at the lower end of housing costs, which, again, would be for typical first-time or, buyers that are looking in to break into the market. That is really what we're looking for. That's what any community is looking for. Yeah. Is for those first-time buyers to establish roots and make a community theirs. Really, it's up to the I hate to pontificate, but that's really ultimately your decision as a decision maker. What is best for our community? In this instance, this proposed project before you does, in city staff's recommendation, meet the general plan criteria and development code, with the exception of landscaping. And with that, I will get off my soapbox.
Well, I'm glad you were. I appreciate that, and it helps me balance my concerns out. In fact, I took out my lawn, my front yard, and the city gave me $750, if I remember correctly, in order to do that. And I used that to put some boulders in my front yard and rocks. So to me, that's landscaping, which uses no water compared to what the grass that was there But to me, landscaping also makes density less, so that we're not getting a community of houses without recreation areas, without areas for parking, without areas, without a house sitting on it, curb to curb, sidewalk to sidewalk. And you made me feel a little bit better about that. So all of that being said, I'll get off of my soapbox also, and we'll proceed. I take it the commissioners have reviewed all of the findings, and there were quite a few to read through and consider. And if there is no further comment on those findings, then...
Mr. Rodman?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one comment, if I might.
Sure.
Yeah, and it was kind of to the point, to your point, and maybe, Raphael, you can clarify, and maybe this will add, you know, help your digestion of this project. And that would be these types of projects, this type of project specifically, serves our RENA numbers. Am I correct in saying that, Raphael? Right. So that, yeah. And that goes a long way at our commitment from a state level. And there's a lot of benefits to meeting those obligations as well for the city. So housing stock and things like that. So just wanted to make sure that that was brought up.
Yes. And in that regard, I've become aware of, through family members, that there are lots of jobs available in this area. In Grover Beach itself and in the Five Cities area, there are jobs, but there is not housing. So people that want to work here can't find a house. And it's unfortunate that our cost of living is so high that if your income from the job that's available can't provide a down payment or rental, then you're stuck. And so I do appreciate the need for more housing. So then I going to move on to entertain a motion, and just to remind the commissioners that we need to include probably a public works condition in that motion. So do I have a motion?
Chair, I'll take a crack at it. And Raphael or Nicole, the recommendation that's here on the slide, would that be the appropriate language? It does not include the specific public works.
Correct. Yeah, the second one, applicant may work with the city on a cost sharing agreement for right-of-way improvements prior to commencement of street improvements along Trueville Avenue.
So this entire slide would be the motion?
That is correct.
Okay. I'll go ahead and then I'll take a stab at that. I'll make the motion that staff recommends I'll make the motion that we adopt the resolution approving development application 21-14 for a development permit and tentative parcel map creating three parcels and construction of three residential units located at 813 Trueville. We'll also recommend that a condition is added that the applicant may work with the city on a cost-sharing agreement for right-of-way improvements prior to the commencement of street improvements along Trueville Avenue.
Oh, that sounds very good. Is there a second?
I will second that.
All right. We have a first and second. Clerk Ratana, would you please call a roll?
Commissioner Long?
Yes.
Vice Chair Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes. All right, that motion carries. Very good. Let's move on then to item three. If there is any member of the public who wishes to comment on item three, please call in at 805-321-6639. And item three is development application 21-39. Applicant Master Capital Venture LLC, Classic Capital Venture LLC, Huston Capital Venture LLC, Verrill Capital Venture LLC, Expo Capital Venture LLC, and Mega Capital Venture LLC. Assistant Planner Rafael Castillo, would you please give your report? I don't hear you. Oh, there you go.
There you go. All right. So this is a development application 2139. This is a time, an additional 1 year time extension for a project that was approved in 2019, known as the Huston Cannabis Campus. So again, this slide here shows some of the proposed architecture that was to be completed for the various 6 lots along Huston Avenue. Again, this project was approved by the Planning Commission in 2019, and it is for development of 6 lots in our industrial area. There's a development permit and use permits associated with that to construct a commercial cannabis campus. This is an aerial view of what the proposed project is. This is the McCall building that has been finished. So this area is a little bit dated. This is formerly Central Coast Printing, but is now another commercial cannabis business that's going through a commercial tentative improvement now that the commission saw earlier at the beginning of this summer. This is a city corp yard. So again, these are 6 lots, 6 separate buildings along our industrial core. And again, this is an aerial view of that proposed project. So the project was approved in October 2018, so I misspoke. I thought it was 19. Gosh, I lose my memory already. So an extension was granted in September of 2020. So just to give you a quick recap, there are 2 lots that are awaiting issuance. What that means is the city staff has went ahead and gone through its building permit plan check. These permits are ready to be issued. So that means that tomorrow the applicant can walk in and get those permits issued. They are seeking leases before construction. That is one of the caveats that the applicant is doing, which is why it is taking a little bit longer of a time. Not to mention that since this project was approved in 2018, many of us have experienced COVID-19. And in terms of how that has flipped our industry upside down a little bit. So there are currently, you know, shortages in labor, as well as a little bit more cost in constructing these large scale projects. Since this approval in 2018, there are no changes that have occurred on site. So what that means is these properties still remain vacant. Some of them are being used for some of them are being used for auxiliary parking for Natural Healing Center. And so again, that does meet the criteria for a time extension. So because of that, city staff is recommending that the Planning Commission grant an additional 1 year time extension, adopting development application 2139 for development applications 1823 through 1828 to give the 6 lots an additional year to begin their building permit and construction process. And with that, I will open up to the commission for any questions.
Indeed. So, commissioners, you're welcome to ask any questions for the staff. I want to say in the beginning, though, that this project has already been approved. And so our question, and correct me if I'm wrong, staff, but our question tonight is not the merit so much of the project as is it worthy of another extension?
That is correct. It is whether we want to extend this an additional year.
Okay. So, Commissioner Holden, do you have any questions for the staff at this time?
No, I have no questions.
All right. Commissioner Long.
Yeah, just a clarification question. I think I've asked this before at other meetings. So they had a 2 year permit, use permit, initially issued, And then they had another one-year extension. Is that correct? And then, so this will be the third extension. And so I guess my question is, that continues on until at some point this project moves forward?
Right. This is a second extension. I believe that the cap is five years on the number of extensions. So we're running now on extension number two. So then again, this would extend the building part. This would extend the development permit and use permit through October of 2022. Yes.
Okay. And then I wasn't part of this initial application or wasn't around for that time. But in your presentation, you mentioned that the applicant is interested in leasing. So this is really just out of curiosity. So the property isn't owned. They're getting the development permit in place, but they would lease the property for construction rather than buy it, or with the option to buy?
No, the applicant owns the property. They're looking for leasees to lease the buildings, and the applicant is on the line, or one of the applicant's representatives, and could probably better speak to that.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Is there anything else, Commissioner Long?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Vice Chair Halverson.
I guess my question is kind of along the same lines as Commissioner Long's. It sounds like the holdup on this project is not so much the design and getting the thing started. It's more of a marketing thing. They're not going to go much further unless they actually have a dedicated, committed leasee to actually take occupancy of these buildings and start utilizing them for the intended purpose. So I don't know if that changes at all what we say tonight, whether we give them another extension. I guess I don't know. I'd like to hear from the applicant about what the holdup has been and what their plans are to move the project forward.
Planning Commission, this is your city attorney, David Helm. If you look at each of the...
Just a second, please, applicant. I want to close the
Chair
comments, and then we'll give you a...
Chairman?
Chairman? Yes. This is a city attorney. It's not the applicant.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that very well in my...
propose to you is if you look at section one of each one of the resolutions that are before you, you're required to make specific findings. Embodied within those findings are the reasons why they're coming forward and asking you for this extension. I'd recommend that you take a review of that, and then if it's your desire to extend this, to incorporate those findings within your motion to extend. But if you take a look at it, I think it lays out for you, or staff has put those reasons in there to lay out for you why they're asking for this extension, which is in compliance with our code.
So the staff has already decided that those findings can be met. Is that my understanding, Mr. Hale?
I don't want to speak for... Mr. Castillo, but I believe that's what they're recommending to you, yes.
Yes, that is what we are recommending, is the findings from the applicant, the reasonings from the applicant meet the evidence provided. And again, it's the applicant has made a good faith effort to exercise the permit. As mentioned earlier, two of the six permits are ready to go. They're ready to be issued. The applicant has also established a stockpile permit that's already been done. And again, in terms of problems with completing the project, one of the bigger ones is the code does say demonstrate problems with completing the acquisition of a lot, poor weather during periods of planned construction or financial circumstances, etc. In this instance, one of the more extraneous circumstances is COVID-19.
Okay, and so yes, I found those findings, and they're on. It looks like page one of the resolution number 18-18 in section one. Those are the findings we're speaking to, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. So, yes, we'll take a look at those. But let's open for the public. Public hearing is now open, and I'll invite the applicant to speak first. Applicant, are you available?
Yes, hi, I'm here. This is Rafael Fally.
Okay. Commissioners, what are your questions of the applicant? And then we'll go on to the public. Or would you rather we just go on to the public and come back? Why don't we do that? I don't see any. Yeah. Okay. So let's, the applicant is ready. Do you have any report you'd like to make first before we go on to the public hearing?
No. So basically, I heard that we were, somebody stated that we were looking for a tenant first, then to erect the building, but this is not the case at the moment. We actually want to move forward and build the building. Then later on, we could look for tenants or so on and so forth. And that's where we stand right now. The reason it's been taking so long is, many of you know, COVID has hit a lot of people, also with us. Construction budgets have gone up. We're trying to get the refinance for a construction loan as we speak right now. We are talking to the lender. We have submitted applications. So that's moving along, and that's where we stand right now. On the two of them, as Rafael stated, we do have applicants. Permits have been submitted, and we will be moving forward. And hopefully, within the next couple of months, we should maybe be starting on construction. So that's where we stand at the moment.
All right. So, okay. Commissioners, do you want to ask any questions now or hold them till we hear from the public?
Well, I thank him for that clarification of looking for tenants or building first. That's a very positive statement for me. So I don't have any other questions of the applicant.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to the rest of public comment. Clerk Rotana, is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on item 3? If so, please call in at 805-321-6639. Clerk Rotana, do you have anyone on the line?
We do not have anyone on the line.
Okay. Hearing no further comments, I'll close the public hearing and let the commissioners provide comments on the proposed projects. So I take it that you have taken the time to look at the findings that were mentioned by Mr. Hale. There are three of them. General plan consistency. Number 2, physical suitable in terms of design, and 3, the type density of use. Commissioners, any comments?
No comments, Your Chair.
Yes, go ahead, please.
No comments. If there are no other comments, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay, I'm sure I've said this before. Extensions are not my favorite thing to vote for. I like to think that the commission approves the project and construction can begin the next day, but that's not the case. And in this case, cannabis requires extra permits, and I understand all of that. There is some evidence of grading and so forth, I think, on this project. So I just hope it'll continue and we're not a year from now confronted with another extension. But yes, I'll entertain a motion. If there are no other comments from our commissioners.
I guess, Chair, I'm going to backtrack and say I do have one comment, and it kind of speaks to your point and maybe to the applicant with, you know, our current scenario. And Raphael, this is a question for you. Have we, is there any anything to preclude us from doing a longer extension? We do 1 year. Would it make sense to do a 2 year for a project like this? If we're, you know, you got a, what, a 5 year window, or we just kind of frown upon that? We do a 1x1.
Yeah, that is actually, this is the probably one time where I wish Bruce were here. So I'm going to defer out to our city attorney on this one. Simply because I don't have the institutional knowledge as he does. So,
some time ago, the extension provisions, which were 3 years over the initial 2 years, quite frankly, for the Lodge project, it initiated a revision to that, which functionally allowed an indefinite period of time. So I think the answer to your question is yes. I don't think there's anything that necessarily precludes you from extending that period if you desire to do that.
Okay. I kind of would like to see, I'm afraid if we give them 5 years, that it'll be 4 years before anything is done. So I would rather like to see this come back in a year. But what are the other commissioners feeling?
Well, I don't believe the driving force behind the developer's schedule is whether the city's given them a 5 year time period or a 1 year time period. I think the driving force for most developers, if not all, is economics. You know, the time is money, and they want to get it done and turn it over and move on to the next project. So you can give them a 5 year extension, you can give them a 1 year extension. They're going to go at the pace that is the most economical, which to me normally is the quickest. So as far as what I'm in favor of tonight, I think the 1 year extension will work fine.
Okay. Commissioner Long, any other comments or anyone else want to chime in on this? I don't hear anyone, so I'll go back to Commissioner Long for his motion.
Sure. Well, thanks for the clarification on that, City Attorney. Just wanted to ask the question. Yeah, I think in this case, it certainly is all about economics and our current situation. So it was more of eliminating the applicant from having to come back year after year. But in this case, I don't think.
I agree. I hope that's the case.
So I'll go ahead and make a motion if we're done with discussion. I think that we are, that we adopt the resolution approving development application 21-39 for a 1 year time extension of development application 18-23 through 18-28.
Very good. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I will second. We'll both second.
All right. It looks like we have 2 seconds. So, Clerk Brittana, will you roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Long?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Vice Chair Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes. So the motion passes then, and we are ready for... Yeah, it looks like we have no other regular business items this evening. So Commissioner, you have any comments in general, update on development? What are your comments about anything on your mind tonight?
Well, I just had one question for staff, I guess, and that is my term on the commission expired a little while ago, and I haven't heard anything about interviews for replacement. Is there a schedule for that?
I will check in with Bruce, and I will get back to you on that.
Okay. Nicole, you look like you know something.
I hope, I hope that your volunteerism will continue,
Well, I turned in the application, I don't know, a couple months ago, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There are different terms, it seems. Mine is every 2 years, or is yours every 2 or 3 years?
I think they're all the same.
They're all the same now, but I think in the past
some people took over midterm, and they might have a one-term, and then they have to go again.
I see.
That's where you might see some different looking terms.
I see. Yes. Yes. Okay. Any other commission comments? No? I see some heads nodding, so I'd like, of course, to hear an update on the developments that are we've approved, especially the ones on El Camino, and I guess the lodge is, I don't know about what you can say about that. But please, let's go on to a community development director's report, please.
All right. Well, thank you, Chair Rodman. So filling in for Bruce tonight on the director's report once again. Just a reminder that October 5th, you have a special joint meeting with the City Council to continue our SB2 discussion. And just an update to an update, the state legislature the governor signed a lovely flurry of bills over the last 2 weeks that deal with housing, specifically SB8 and SB9. So we'll be discussing that on 10-5 about how we're going to revise our ordinance even more starting next year for more housing. So that will be a part of the 10-5 special meeting, and again, continuation of what we previously discussed at our last joint meeting.
So, would you repeat the date and time of that meeting?
So that'll be October 5th, which is your typical Planning Commission meeting. That will be with a joint session with the City Council.
Yes. And do you think we'll be in person or with
technology? We will not be in person. So we will continue our use of technological wizardry.
Yeah, I'm far from a wizard, as you've all noticed, I'm sure. Okay, other comments?
So on 10-19, we are looking at a special Planning Commission meeting to do our regular business. That is on a Tuesday. That's the third Tuesday. So we are looking at two items on the agenda that evening, 551 West Grand Avenue. It is a two-unit sort of quote-unquote hotel units, so this will probably be a new one for the commission, and then also looking at our mobile food vending ordinance going to the commissioners for the first brush. Development updates, just this morning, city staff issued a building permit for 923 Huber. That is the last of our commercial cannabis businesses, so that permit was issued. It actually was a revision, so they have started work. They completely gutted the building. There is a new owner that has taken over, and so they're looking to finish off that construction. Hopefully, they are done by early winter or late winter, early spring of next year. And for a final update to one of our lovely hotel projects, 905 El Camino Real has an official new owner. That purchase went through. They have begun the cleanup process on site. So what that means is they are going through and cleaning up the site of encampments of the unhoused. And they are beginning to set up and begin that. Bruce and I have seen preliminary elevations of what they're looking at doing in terms of revisions to what's been previously approved. So hopefully we will begin that building permit process in the very near future with construction. I was pinging Public Works, my counterparts there. We were looking at construction beginning summer of this 2022 with completion in 2024. So that is the best hope, best case. But movement has started, particularly with this group that has picked up the project and them showing big interest in terms of changing out the flag as well as some of the preliminary architecture. So that is the update I provide to you. I bring gifts this evening, Chairperson Rodman.
Yay! So just in my mind, back to the cannabis developments, how many, do you know how many retail businesses are actually selling cannabis?
Yeah, so we have three retail businesses here in the city, Natural Healing Center, 805 Beach Breaks, and Urban Leaf. The fourth one, this was originally known as the Milkman. So a company out of Santa Barbara by the name of Jushi has purchased it. And so they're just doing, it's taken them a while to get through their revision process and to make that retail vision a reality. But they are, you know, the contractor, they do have now a contractor on board. And again, they're looking to build that up as quickly as possible.
Excellent. Another gift by you. So, and we originally approved four retail, right?
Correct. We have reached our cap at four. This is an item that will be going to City Council in December. It has actually got pushed back about, bringing back information from spring to the council in regards to, potentially opening up additional new retailers, as well as in-person consumption lounges. So stay tuned for that.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments from commissioners before we adjourn?
Quick question, Chair.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
By all means.
Attorney, city attorney, it looked like you were going to say something there. I'll just add quickly the question I had, and you brought it up, Rafael, had to do with homelessness. And I thought on our joint meeting with the city council, there was going to be a section, some discussion about that. And I know we didn't cover it in the first session. I'm just wondering if anybody knows if we're going to touch on that during the second session in October. Or did I mishear that? That's a possibility.
I believe the SB2 discussion doesn't necessarily revolve around homelessness, but I can check into that and get back to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Hale, you have a comment?
I do. Thank you, commissioners. I want to make one point of clarification to some advice that I gave you just a minute ago. I'd like to believe that my mind is good enough to remember all the code provisions exactly the way they're written, or even I wrote them, but I'm not that good, unfortunately. The particular provision, while you were talking, I went back and took a look at the related to the extension of development permits. It does extend those development permits out significantly to the extent that the project is one that is subject to approval by the federal government, the state government, or any other local agency. And Mr. Castillo can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that particular subject project probably fell within that definition. So therefore, his comment to you that there is a five-year limitation is correct. So therefore, there's no need to do anything in light of the motion that you made. But I just wanted to correct that for future reference that it is 5 years unless there's some other agency that's subject to the approval process. And I saw Mr. Castillo shake his head no. So I think we're still all good. That's all.
Yeah, okay. So I think, yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Hale. I appreciate that clarification. And I don't see Rafael being too upset. No? Okay.
Well, I'd like to believe I have them all memorized. I try, but it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, I got to hand it to you. You have definitely caught us from making a mistake in more than one occasion. So I appreciate your comments and advice at all time. If there be no other business tonight, I will adjourn. This meeting at 7:22. Yes?
7:24.
7:24. Okay. Thank you all for your help tonight. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks all.